This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Ameritech Property Management, how can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something
died. You guys sent me a violation notice in the mail.
Okay,
it says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell is that?
If you guys think that you're going to take my house, you got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. That is 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Good afternoon, folks. Today we have two very interesting guests, and we're going to talk all about audits, reviews, compilations, tax returns, and of course, Trump's new tax laws. Also, do you suspect your board or management company stealing from your association? What about embezzlement, kickbacks, bribes, or any other misappropriation of your association's funds? It's that and much more. Right here and right now, isn't that right, Sharon?
That's right. And today we have Thomas Edward Page, CPA, the principal owner of Page & Company. He has over 25 years' experience in dealing with condominium, cooperative, timeshares, and homeowners associations, doing tax returns, audits, reviews, compilations, that sort of thing, in compliance with Florida statutes. So
right.
We're happy to have you back on the show. We've had you on here several times, and it's just been really nice and getting lots of information for our listening audience.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we also have his wife, Mary.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome. Yes, yes, she's here too. So
of what, 30 years of marriage?
25 years.
Well, congratulations. I can't believe you've been putting up with him for 25 years, Mary.
I was going to say or condolences, but that wouldn't be very nice.
Working with him for the last, what, 12?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Long time.
Yeah.
No, he's a good
things
guy.
Are running smoothly, so that's good.
Yeah. You see, we're at work every day. We see each other every day, so.
Well, we appreciate we appreciate you doing the show. I mean, I know this is your busy, busy season.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you for
coming. Take you away from that.
Absolutely.
No, bring you in here. That's great. So I'll just start off with what are the year-end financial statement requirements?
Well, the year-end financial statement for condominium homeowners associations, you know, if they have over $150,000 of gross revenue, mm-hmm. then they're required to have CPA prepared financials. So if it's over $150,000, they're required to have a compilation. If it's over $300,000, they're required to have a review. If it's over $500,000, they're required to have an audit. And if you're going to vote to waive it, you have to do it before year end. So if you haven't waived it for 2017,
important.
You need to look and see what your income
It's too late then at that point, right?
Right. Then you're required to have CPA prepared financials. Right.
And most associations do it typically at their annual meetings, which is, you know, September, October, November, before the year end.
But what if their year end doesn't end December 31st?
Well, you have to do it before year end. So whatever your fiscal year end, you have to have an annual meeting. You have to vote to waive it before year end. You can't do it after their fiscal year end.
So if it's like May to June, because it's more of a calendar period than a fiscal, then they just have to do it before May.
Right, before the end of May.
Yeah,
right.
And that's before yeah, that, yeah. You answered my question.
Right.
So what is an audit? I mean, I know that a lot of associations and homeowners associations, condos, are required to have this. What is an audit? What makes up an audit?
Well, of the three financial statements, the audit's the most intensive. We go and look at, we contact the banks and get confirmation of bank balances. We contact attorneys, see if there's any legal issues out there that need to be reported in the financials. You know, we trace any transactions, checks written to the original invoice to make sure that an invoice exists and it's for that association. So it's a lot more intensive than the other two. It's much more in depth. Of course, it takes more time because we're digging through paperwork and everything, and then.
All right. I know you're in our office this time of year often.
I know.
I mean, I know. When we order lunch, we always order for you as well.
Right. Yeah.
So, because I know it's that time where you're going through the association's books and records and so forth.
So, what's the forensic audit? What's involved in that?
Audit, I mean, all audits are basically have an element of forensic. I mean, whenever you're doing an audit, you're looking at the economic transactions, you're looking at a check that was written, you're going to go back to the original invoice. That's sort of what forensics is. But usually forensics audits, you see it with insurance cases. Sometimes if there's fraud, if there's money stolen, bankruptcy, divorce, they'll hire a forensic audit team, CPA firm, to verify that. No one's like bankruptcy. Sometimes people hide assets, so they use a CPA to trace assets. If someone's from a big business has stolen money, some CPAs have been trained to track it through the computer, because even though they erase hard drives, sometimes that can be recovered, and they'll see, oh, there's these transactions to the Virgin Islands. We're able to dig up and find out what a bank account over there it went to. And so forensic accounting is usually the entity, the business, whatever, knows there's something going on.
Some embezzlement or fraud,
right,
or something.
And they've just got to find it.
Right, right. Now, I know that, you know, for us as a management company, we provide a lot of information for our associations, mm-hmm, when it comes to the month-end financial reporting requirements.
That's good.
I mean, as you know, we give them copies of all the paid receipts in conjunction with the disbursement reports. But give us some reasons other than the legal requirements for an association to have an audit. I mean, why would they want an audit?
Well, there are several reasons. There could be a change in management company. So when you change to management companies, there's a transfer of cash. So you want to make sure the cash from the old management company went to the new management company is properly identified. It could be that maybe you're suspicious of maybe some activity. Maybe you're worried because you're way over budget when you shouldn't be. There's several reasons. And a lot of times, you know, the Florida statutes, it says over $500,000 to do an audit. And that's usually a good rule of thumb. If you've got $500,000 of money coming in, why not have an audit? The statutes basically are saying that's material enough to have a third party come in and take a look at
it. I agree. Our position has always been, look, it's a cost of doing business. You know, it's if it costs the association literally, 10 cents more per month, per unit to have an audit, it's just a cost of doing business to get it done.
Yeah, it's about 1%. I mean, if you've got gross revenues about $500,000, audit's going to probably cost less than $5,000 unless there's a lot of issues there. So it's 1% of your budget.
Right. Now, you also audit the reserve requirements as well.
Right. Yeah. Reserves are a big part of it because, you know, when you look at financial statements of a condominium, most of their cash is reserves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's in the past, that's where the money's been stolen because that's where the money is at the condominium bank account. So we do look at that. We look at the expenses paid out of reserves more closely.
Okay. You know. So, you know, while you're doing an audit, if you suspect fraud or theft from a management company or a board member, what do you do then?
Yeah, well, then always the next highest person up. So if it's the management company, I'd go to the board of directors. If it's the board of directors, either management company or, you know, maybe perhaps the attorney, the association's attorney, and let them know. Most fraud that we've seen is they suspect it. I mean, there's smoke, and when there's smoke, there's usually fire. The fire's found out pretty quickly. You can see, usually it's in the bank statements. You can see it in the bank statements.
Well, you remember that one association, I won't mention names, but where the president was stealing. Now, you did the audit on that one, right?
Yep.
I mean, she ended up getting, 5 years in jail for that?
I forget, but...
Yeah, so they really do. I mean, we were the ones that blew the whistle on them. I mean, we called the association's attorney, because it's kind of hard, because you don't know how many board members at that point that were in cahoots the same thing.
Well, plus, people didn't believe that she was stealing.
Right.
You know, there are people...
Which allowed it to go on longer, right?
Hey, you know, we know this person pretty well, you know.
And, right. She would never do that. Are you kidding me? So, but yeah, she was. She was, and she embezzled quite a bit of money. I mean, it wasn't like, this was $1 million condo operation. Yeah. But I think she got 30 or 40 grand, before.
Yeah, probably really, more than that. Yeah. Because I remember you found an invoice for furniture that wasn't delivered to the association.
That's right.
It was delivered to her house.
And association was paid. Yeah. Same thing with a refrigerator was shipped somewhere up north in Chicago or whatever. And the association ended up paying it, and she tried to suggest that it was one of the association-owned units.
Yeah.
So, what's up, Pita?
How you doing? Let's go out to the phone lines here. We got some calls.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right. You're on the air at Ameritech Connection. You have a question for Eddie?
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay, I'm not sure if you guys were just talking about this. I was trying to listen to your show, so I hope I don't look like a
complete... No, you're fine. You're fine.
...jerk asking you this question. So I think my board is stealing, but I can't prove it. Now, do you inform the homeowners if you catch the board stealing?
Well, it gets reported. Like, if we contact the attorney, it's going to be made news. It's going to be part of the meeting. The board's going to say, hey, we took, CPA found this, we talked to an attorney suggested filing charges with the sheriff department. So it's going to be knowledgeable out there. So, so you're going to find out if someone's stealing, unless the board decides not to press charges. If, maybe it's so minor, they just fire the person, go away, we won't press charges, just go away. Sometimes that happens. It's so small.
Right.
It all depends the amount, but if it's a big amount, and the board presses charges, you're going to hear about it. It's going to make the newspaper.
But you got to be careful. I mean, it's rare that board members or management companies actually steal. I mean, you audit and do tax returns and reviews and compilations for hundreds of associations, and rarely does you come across it. A lot of times, the homeowners themselves just don't understand the process.
Exactly.
So the first thing they think is, well, they must be stealing. So be careful and choose your words carefully. Because that's typically not the case. I mean, we have found it in rare cases, but for the most part, they don't, right?
Yeah, it's pretty rare to find.
Yeah. All right, well, so hopefully we've answered your question.
All right, thank you.
You did. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
So, Eddie, what are some of the crazy stuff you found, by doing association audits? I mean, there's got to be some really wacky stuff you found,
Well, with technology now, with the ability to scan things in and alter it, I know you're familiar with this one, the one case, being in this industry, everybody knows about all the different cases. The one where it was a small management company, and then the bookkeeper was stealing money out of reserves, and what they would do is every time the bank statement came in, scan it in, bring it up in like an Adobe Photoshop, alter the numbers, print it out.
We took over that one.
And give it to the treasurer. So the treasurer looking at a bank statement that says, you got $600,000 in cash. Well, they didn't, because he was stealing it, he was transferring it out, and he would delete it off the bank statements that was going to the treasurer. So it's,
Yeah, that's one association we took over probably about 5 or 6 years ago. We still manage them. Okay. And we have implemented dual bank statements.
That's a great idea. Great
because
idea.
Of that. So what happens is, in essence, is that the board president or treasurer, whoever, will get a copy of a bank statement directly from the bank. And then we, in return, obviously, when we produce our financial statement, they also get our financial statements. And those two bank statements should be identical. So when they get our financial statement, they get a reconciled bank statement.
Right.
And those two statements, one from the bank and one from the management company, should be identical. And that wasn't the case
right.
with that particular association. So you got some really creative thieves out there, frankly.
If someone wants to steal money, they're going to find a way. And this guy, he found a way, and he did it for, I remember doing the audit. I think we had to go back a year, or at least a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Well, it was about $600,000,
yeah,
too.
It was a huge amount.
It was.
And it's funny, is 1 month, you'd see transactions going out of the bank account to 8 different bank accounts.
Oh, wow.
You know, and he deleted all those off, and the treasurer.
Well, what bank accounts? So was it like his bank accounts or just different bank accounts?
I don't know. I mean, we gave it to the attorney to process and
right.
go after, but I don't see how the bank allowed 1 month. 8 different bank accounts that go down.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question. We have a board where one of the board members uses their own credit card to pay for their association insurance, which is a big number, okay? And this is done yearly. Is this legal?
I don't think it is now because, you know, they just passed new Florida legislation regarding what they call kickbacks. So that might be considered a kickback under the Florida statutes where, you know, if they pay with a credit card, they're going after the points, they're going after...
Of course, yeah.
Whatever. And
there would be no other reason.
Yeah. And I don't think that's the first time that's happened. I think that's why the new law came into play.
So that's interesting. So what they're doing is they're charging 25 or 30 grand to pay the insurance premium.
And then when she gets reimbursed.
She gets reimbursed by the mm-hmm. association, but she just accumulated maybe 100,000 frequent milers.
Yeah,
right,
a huge amount.
Who
yeah.
knows?
Yeah.
Or cash.
Right. Yeah. But I would contact the attorney, the association's attorney, about that. Because
interesting.
So
what is a review, Eddie? I know we talked about audits. Let's just go right into reviews.
Yeah, a review is not as in-depth as an audit, so it's not as expensive. An audit may be anywhere, depending on how complicated it is. If an audit, if you have a bank loan, if you've got a special assessment, it could be anywhere from $4,500 up to $5,000 or $6,000, depending on how complicated it is. A review is going to be about much less than that. It's going to be about $1,500 to low $2,000 for a review.
Right.
In a review, we compare actual to budget. So, you know, we do all these analytical procedures. You know, in one way, and this is what I recommend, is if you're looking at an association financial statement, look at actual to budget, because that will tell you where you're out of whack. That's, you need to look and see why. Was the budget not... Was that unexpected expense? Was the budget under budgeted for that expense?
And, or was there a mistake? Maybe
yeah.
it was posted to the wrong account.
Right.
I mean, like for an example, management fee, if we're charging $1,000 a month, that
yeah.
should be, you know, that should be
it's
perfect.
It's a matched budget. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And a review is going to be less than an audit. And, you know, we're going to look at, we'll do analytical procedures and, you know, we won't necessarily trace to invoices. We won't take a sample trace to invoices unless a budgeted expense is way out of whack.
Now, a review is for any association that has more than 50 units or more?
No. They got rid of the
unit. Oh, they got rid of the 50 units?
Yeah, last year.
Okay, so it's gross revenue between 300 and 500?
Right.
Okay.
And it's gross revenue only. It used to be if you had less than 50 units, you had $300,000 in income. You weren't required.
So if you got a high rise on the beach that has 14 units, but their gross revenues, you know, $400,000,
they're required to have a review.
Unless, of course, okay. it's waived.
So we've talked about reviews, audits. What about compilations?
Compilations is we just put the financials together in a financial report. It's going to look the same as an audit. It's going to have the balance sheet, the income statement, the cash flows. It's going to have the notes of the financial. All the financial statements, you know, are processed the same. It looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
Compilation, we're not going to do an audit review. We're not going to compare actual to budget. We put it together. We with the condominium homeowners associations, we use fund accounting. So when you look at the association's financial statements, it's just one column balance sheet and maybe a one column income statement. What we do, we break it out between operating fund and reserve funds so that you get a better picture of the activity. It's, you know, all the financial statements the CPA produced, under AICPA guidelines where we're required to have certain information. And it's good information so that if someone wants to, if you're buying a unit in a condominium homeowners associations, I recommend getting their financial statements, whether it's compilation, review, or an audit, doesn't matter. Look at the financials, look at, see how much money's in reserves.
Well, that's the key point, because if not fully funding the reserves, that potential homeowner has got some liability exposure with the potential special assessment.
Right, right.
Yeah, right.
So CPA prepared financials plays an important role in the, you know, in the paperwork for the
now association. Just to review, we talked about some preliminary cost on a review, compilation, and audit. But let's go over that. What's the cost to engage a CPA for each of these types of reports, to include what do you charge for tax returns too? I know all CPAs are a little bit different, and you give your associations that special treatment, right?
Well,
so
yeah, we do so many condominium homeowners associations, we charge $175 to do the tax return. If they are required to have a Florida return, it's an extra $25. And we do, almost 600 tax returns of condominium associations and homeowners. And so we've got a system down. So I've got employees where, you know, they take the information, put it in Excel. I go in Excel and clean it up. And then we can produce the financials. We got a team to process it.
You got to be doing like 100 returns a day for the most part.
Sometimes it feels like
I was going to say it feels like it, right?
Right. Yeah. So we've got a system for doing the tax return. So we can charge the $175, right.
I don't know if Peter's done his tax returns yet. He's always late from what I heard. Have you done your tax returns? You know it's coming up, Peter.
I do know it's coming up. I have done my tax returns already.
Oh, good for you. Well,
yes.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
You're
yes.
ahead of us, so.
There you go. Exactly.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to take a quick 2-minute break. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Honey, why is the house on fire?
Well, Charles, I told you to feed Fluffy before you left for work, and...
You're joking, right?
She was very upset.
Aegis Insurance Group provides insurance for your personal or business needs, providing insurance for condominium and homeowner associations, automotive, boats, and recreational vehicles. We have you covered. We will find the perfect coverage at an affordable price for your needs. 727-216-4088. 727-216-4088. With over 60 years' experience, you can trust us with your insurance needs.
Do you serve on the board of a condominium association? Or how about a homeowners association? Here's a well-known fact. Page & Company are probably the best accounting firm for community associations. With over 18 years of experience specializing in audits, reviews, compilations, and tax returns, you must get a quote from Page & Company for your association's financial reporting requirements. So give Page & Company Certified Public Accountants a call at 727-726-2785. Get the personal service you deserve.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called the Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks, to the Ameritech Connection. And for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is certified a public
certified public accountant, Eddie Page, and his lovely wife, Mary, from Page & Company. We're talking about audits, reviews, compilations, tax returns, and, of course, we're going to talk about Trump's new tax laws. So, Eddie, what is the difference between a nonprofit versus a not-for-profit organization?
Well, a nonprofit is a... It's an IRS designation. So if you're a 501c3, you're the United Way, Red Cross, you know, you're a nonprofit under the federal law, which means any income you take isn't subject to tax. That's not what an association is. They're a not-for-profit under the Florida statutes, which means the Florida statute says, well, you know, associations, they can't collect money from owners and then return it like a dividend. Like if you're a C corporation, you pay a dividend. If you have stock in a C corporation, you pay a dividend. An association is a C corporation, but they can't pay dividends. They can't pay it out. They can't distribute profits. They have to. They're required to keep it within the association, roll it over, use it for association expenses.
So does that mean that there are no community associations that are organized for profit?
No, most of them are. I mean, you have to pay taxes on certain income, you know, interest income, if you have cell phone antenna. So it's still profit, it's still taxable income for tax purposes. What most people, when they ask me about the nonprofit, not-for-profit, they think the income coming in isn't subject to tax. Well, it is, because under the tax law, you know, like I said, interest income, if you have cell phone antennas, some of those get, you know, if you've got two cell phone antennas, you could have 30,000 plus of
huge
income coming.
We have some.
And it's hard to write, you know, what do? I allocate as much as I can expenses against taxable income to hopefully bring it down to zero. But sometimes, you know, you've got income that's so high, it's hard to bring it down. So that's the confusion. They're thinking taxes. They think not, you know, it's nonprofit. Why are we paying taxes? Well, if you've got, you know, $30,000 of cell phone income, you know, I can bring it down as much as I can, but, you know, you're going to have to pay a little bit of taxes.
Right. Well, on the laundry income, you usually expense that pretty much out.
Right. It's with laundry income, I allocate expenses against it, because by the time you allocate utilities, water, insurance, you know, the management time, you know, the paperwork, you're really not making money on
in
it.
In repairs,
so,
no, I agree.
I argue it's a break-even, that laundry income is a break-even.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering about the laundry income.
Yeah, that's how I always do that.
Okay. So back to the reports. What's the cash disbursement and expenditure report?
Oh, that's the minimum report. If your gross revenue is under $150,000, or if you vote to waive it, that's the minimum report you're required to provide. And a cash receipt disbursement report is just your cash coming in and your cash going out by certain categories. And the Florida statute specifies some categories that were required to be in there. And a lot of management companies, they're hiring us to do the cash receipt disbursement reports so that matches the requirements under the Florida statutes.
I know I'm the CEO of Ameritech, but are we hiring you to do that? Look at that. I didn't even know that.
That seems to be the trend now. Where, you know,
that falls under Aaron Browder.
I thought we produced that based on our regular standard financial statement that comes out.
You could, but the problem is the way the Florida statutes is written, I personally think what the management company produce is good enough information for the homeowner to understand what's going on.
But right.
Florida statutes decided to say, hey, this is what we want.
In their infinite wisdom, right?
Right. And part of it is you have owners out there that read it word for word. Mm-hmm. And part of it is had to do with reserves. When you have to show the cash coming in and going out of reserves per component. So a lot of computer software programs can't print that because it's a balance sheet. You show it in the balance sheet, you've got the reserves on your balance sheet, and the income coming in, income going out is on the balance sheet.
So you got to show beginning balances and all activity in between with the ending balances at the end of the year for each category.
So you got to show the cash coming in, cash going out, and that's what we provide. So if you look at our cash receipt, it's two pages. The first one is the cash coming in, cash going out, per operating fund, reserve fund, and the second page is just a reserve fund. So we show each reserve component, cash coming in, cash going out, ending cash, and that way it matches the Florida requirements.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think we have a caller on the line, don't we?
We do. We got Kathy on the line. Welcome to Ameritech Connections.
Hey, Kathy. Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Do you have a question for Eddie Page?
Yes. I'm kind of new to association living. I had heard that if the association collects too much money in a year, that they're required to give that money back. Is that true?
Not that I know of. I've heard of certain instances, if it's a special assessment, there may be legal requirements where a special assessment is for a specific item, then they can give that back. But generally, if you have an operating excess, then it gets rolled over to the next year. And because of the not-for-profit provision of the Florida statutes, you know, an operating excess cannot be refunded back to the owners. It gets rolled over because the Florida statutes, they want you to reinvest it in the condominium. It should, technically, it should lower your monthly fee because it's being rolled over to help pay for the next year's expenses.
So, Kathy.
Okay, so it just stays in there to pay for next year's bills.
Then. Yeah. And what a lot of associations do, they roll it over into reserves. That way you.
Or Kathy, they can either roll it over and certainly reduce the maintenance fees. That's how you get that refund. Do not expect, I hope you're not expecting a check in the mail.
Well, it would be nice.
Because you'll be waiting a very long time.
So. Okay, I just have to get used to this association living.
Yeah, I know. It is different. All right, Kathy, thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Community associations, are they required to pay sales tax on their purchases? I know we get a lot of board members that says, hey, we're a corporation, so therefore when you go to Home Depot and you buy some stuff, we're exempt from sales tax.
No, not necessarily. They generally, you have to pay sales tax on that information. Now, there are certain instances where you don't, like sometime a social club, if a social club is having a dance and they're paying and they're charging ticket prices for that. See, they have to pay sales tax on the ticket price. So if you're having an event like that, then what you purchase for that event isn't subject to sales tax. You should have a sales tax certificate. You can go to Sam's Club, show it, you know, and it's for that particular event. That's about the rare instance where you don't have to pay sales tax. But everything else, you're buying office supplies, you're buying cartridge for your printer, going to Home Depot, then you have to pay sales tax. You're not exempt from sales tax. The state of Florida is not going to let you be exempt from sales tax.
So they don't get a pass, huh?
Now, one thing I do notice sometimes in the audit is, you know, cleaning your clubhouse, paying for cleaning, janitorial service, isn't subject to sales tax. And every once in a while, I'll see when I do my audits, I always look at the cleaning invoices. You know, whether it's cleaning the clubhouse, pool cleaning, not subject to sales tax. And sometimes I'll see where the vendor, maybe they're not familiar with the law, they'll charge sales tax. And I've got a little standard template letter saying, hey, this vendor charges sales tax. They shouldn't have. You can go to them, you know, and get 3 years' worth.
I'm wondering if that vendor is actually paying sales tax too.
Sometimes these little
vendors, they collect 7% or what the sales tax are. And there used to be, I think years ago, there was a law that implemented temporarily where they were going to start charging sales tax on all services. Do you remember that?
Right, yep.
Now, it went away for the most part, right? Yeah. I mean, it's limited. Is it limited? I mean,
at certain services, like security services, are required to collect sales tax.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, I think, you know, attorneys or services, so they're not going to let, you know, sales tax, you know, require them to collect sales tax. Luckily, accountants, I think we're close enough to being the same type of services as an attorney where we're pretty safe on.
Well, it's like us. We wouldn't charge them sales tax on top of our management fee.
Oh, that's right. Management, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a professional service, too.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
So what happens, though? I mean, have you found any of them, of our associations, that we've had, like cleaning companies and so forth, charging our community sales tax?
I off the top of my head, I can't remember any charging sales tax. But, I mean, I know there's one condo association that I did. They got like $10,000 back.
From the Florida Department of Revenue?
No, nope. So you can't get it from them. You have to go to the vendor. So you go to the vendor and say, hey, here's a CPA wrote us a letter. Here's the law that he had, you know, that I print and include with the letter. You know, he says we shouldn't have you shouldn't have collected sales tax. We can go back 3 years, and that vendor paid them. It was like over $10,000.
So if that vendor, now, does the vendor have any recourse, theoretically, if he did pay it to the Florida Department of Revenue, of getting those proceeds back from
right.
them?
Then he can go get a refund.
Okay.
But see, the problem is the vendor has to pay the association back, and then he goes get the refund.
Right.
He can't get the refund until he has to show proof that he paid the vendor back.
So he's out the money,
yeah,
and so then it might take like cash, 6 months to get it back.
Cash flow might be get a little bit tight, especially like if it's $10,000.
Right.
So is an association required to collect and pay sales tax on income?
Technically, yes. Like if you rent out your clubhouse, technically that's subject to sales tax. And what I tell associations to do is most charge $125. That seems to be like a standard rate mm-hmm. around for renting out the clubhouse. What I would do is, it's not rent, it's a cleaning fee. And just pay someone $125 to clean the clubhouse. Then it's just a reimbursement of the cleaning fee. It's not, if it's considered rent and it's subject to sales tax, because really, that's all you're doing. You're just charging $125 so that you can pay someone to
right.
come up and clean up afterwards.
It's not something of substance that if it were any normal for-profit organization, they'd be charging $1,250 to rent that
right,
clubhouse.
Right,
and then
right.
that would be certainly subject to sales tax.
Yeah.
But in most cases, the $125 is mainly a cleaning.
Is mainly for the cleaning.
Yeah,
it sounds
and that's what how
right.
I would do it. I would give the person an invoice, $125 for cleaning fee for afterwards. And I've had every once in a while the Florida Department of Revenue will start doing audits, and they've done an audit of an association, caught the clubhouse rental, and said, oh, you got to pay sales tax on that. Now, it wasn't much. But
they can go back 3 years, though,
they
right?
They can go back 3 years.
Huh?
Yeah.
What about any association foreclosed units that they've rented out? Are they required to pay sales tax on those?
Well, if it's less than 6 months, then you do. So the Florida statutes say if you rent out residential property for 6 months or less, then you're required to collect sales tax. So if it's a monthly lease, then you have to collect sales tax monthly. Generally, and attorneys have, usually you go through your attorney, and attorney will know to write the rental contract so that it's 6 months in a day or 7 months, so that you don't have to collect sales tax. Because if an association starts collecting sales tax, they got to get a sales tax number, they've got to fill out all the paperwork. And once you start paying sales tax, then the state of Florida expects that sales tax return. It could be monthly, it could be annually, depending on how much you collect. And then if you go for years without collecting, you don't file a sales tax report, they send a letter saying, hey, here's a penalty because you didn't file. Even if it's zero, they expect you to file. So it can become...
Is it a large penalty?
It's not that much, but it can be a hassle. It's just,
I was involved with Checkers Fast Food Restaurants as one of the principals, and I know they were very stringent when it came to sales tax. I mean, you had so many days to get it, and it was large numbers per store that we pay in sales tax. So budgets. Let's talk a little bit about budgets. Budgets, define a budget in relation to an association, and what's their legal obligation in proper budgeting?
Yeah, well, budgeting for associations is a little bit different than what you would see for a business or a corporation. They're required to use what's called zero budgeting, which means you budget so that you basically figure out what all your expenses are going to be, and then your income needs to match that.
Typical government philosophy, right? It's not like our companies, we got to figure out what our expenses are and then work like the dickens to get the income there, right?
So the budget is, it comes to zero. So you figure out what your expenses are, and you divide that by 12 months, divided by number of units, and that's how you get what you charge everybody.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, Peter, I like the way you said the Ameritech connection, so I think we have a caller on the line. You want to say it?
Absolutely. Let's go to the phone lines on Ameritech Connections. Go ahead.
Hi. Do you have a question for Eddie Page?
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
We had a budget meeting.
And what is your name?
Mary.
Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
We have another Mary here, Mary.
Oh, you do?
Yes, we.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
All right, go ahead. Sorry for that interruption.
I have a way of doing that.
Budget meeting, and there was a proxy enclosed with the notice, and needed the membership to vote on whether to have an audit or not. And the membership voted not to have it, but the board went ahead and did it anyway. So now, can they do that? The membership definitely voted not to.
My understanding is yeah, my understanding is they can. I mean, if you have major concerns, you can ask the attorney. But generally, the board, you elect the board to run the association for you. The Florida statutes basically allows the audit review compilation. They want membership to vote to sort of override the board. But if the board is voting for a higher level of preparation, then I think that's okay. If they can't, the board cannot overrule and do a lower level of financial statements. But as far as I know, they can do a higher level.
What did they bother putting it on for vote if they were going to do it anyway? You know?
Well,
maybe they wanted to see what the membership, if the membership wanted to vote to waive it, because of the expense, or they didn't want to be criticized for, hey, why did you pay for an audit and stuff. So, they can do that.
We've had situations, Mary, where the membership waived the audit requirements, and then the board ignored the membership's waiver and decided to go get an audit.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, neither do I.
It's part of your permanent records.
It makes you think that something's going on. So, they said, oh, no, we're going to have to do an audit because, somebody's stealing money or something.
Audit will find that out. So then if someone suspects that enough, then have the audit. It's, like I said, compared to if you're over 500,000, it's probably about 1% of your...
It's the cost of doing business,
yeah,
right, Eddie?
Yeah. Have a third person come in and just look at things. It gives you, the homeowner, peace of mind that, hey, nobody's stealing, because if the CPA finds certain instances where things aren't kosher, they'll write a letter. It's called a management rep letter, and they'll say, hey, you're not, maybe your set of internal controls aren't that good. So you'll see that and everything. So it's probably good to have a third person, third party, come in and look at things. And that's,
Mary, I hope we've answered your question.
Yeah, great show. I love listening.
All right, thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. You have a great evening.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Please keep listening because we're going to be right back.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Joe owns his own business and, like you, is bombarded with hundreds of insurance offers. Joe can't decide exactly what or how much coverage he needs. Joe called Aegis Insurance Group. Joe met with an Aegis business advisor, and together they designed an insurance program specifically for Joe's needs. If you're confused about your insurance needs, call Aegis Insurance Group. Aegis, insurance protection tailored for you. Call today. 1-855-227-0262.
Whether it's an act of nature or a burst pipe, a large loss can cause significant damage followed by an overwhelming process. Trinicon has the experience and expertise to provide a stress-free approach to restoring your community back to its pre-existing condition, allowing you to focus on other priorities. Our goal is to return you to the comfort of your home as quickly as possible while maintaining the highest standards of excellence. Trinicon is a licensed contractor, roofing contractor, and mold remediator. Call 1-888-521-5667. 1-888-521-5667 or visit us at TrinicronLLC.com.
McDonald Pest Control is more than just another pest control company. We focus on providing outstanding service and quality products at a fair price. We feel you shouldn't pay for services you don't need, and we do not believe in overtreating or using excessive products. We evaluate each location and create an individual program that's designed to treat the needs of your home or business. McDonald Pest Control has the expertise to meet all of your commercial and residential needs, and we can get the job done right the first time. Set up an appointment today. Call us at 727-734-0963, or you can email us at mpcmanage@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Ameritech Connection, and for those of you just tuning in, our guest today is Certified Public Accountant Eddie Page from Page & Company, and we're talking about audits, reviews, compilations, tax returns, and the new Trump tax laws. So, Eddie, are there any new tax laws that would affect a condo or an HOA unit owner or a community association?
Yeah, with the new tax law that passed in December, there's a whole bunch of changes, a whole lot of changes. And, you know, if you really need to contact a tax professional to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. They lowered tax brackets. They lowered tax rates. They did away with the personal exemption, but they doubled the standard deduction. So it's difficult now for even CPAs. We got to sit down and scratch out some numbers to see how it affects you. It used to be if they passed a tax law, okay, well, we could easily figure, well, if it's just a percentage. This maybe you may pay a small percentage more, a small percentage less. Now it's you really got to scratch out the numbers.
Now these new tax laws that went into effect in December, is that for 2017 or is that going to be for 2018 going forward?
It's just 2018 going forward.
Okay.
So we're in the new tax.
So well, I still got to pay the old tax rate, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm hoping.
We all do.
I'm hoping Trump is going to save us some money, right?
Yeah, well, he's supposed to.
Whoever was involved with the new tax law, they knew taxes.
Come on, Peter, you're a Trump guy, right? Don't shake your head at me like that.
I'm a Trump guy, but I haven't seen a lot of money being saved on my taxes, so I'm going to just...
you'll see it next year.
You didn't see that $27 increase every week on your paycheck?
I got you $27 right here. Come back and get it. I'll give it to you. $27.
That's what I heard anyways. Go ahead,
shut up. Talk to that guy in the mirror every day. That's who you hear from.
Go ahead, Eddie.
No, I was going to say most everybody's going to see a tax decrease. So you pay less taxes or a little bit bigger refund. The only people who aren't going to be hit the hardest is if you're a couple with no kids and you live in one of those states where they have high state tax. You're going to get hit because they limited the amount of state tax.
Well, those typically are those liberal states, right? California, New York, you know, all those Democratic states, right?
Right.
Not Florida.
And then that was probably a little...
I am a Republican, right, Peter? I mean...
I don't even know what you are at this point.
Right. I can vouch for him. He's Republican.
Yeah, I'm sure
so
that's
am I.
Why they something. Threw that in there.
That's right. Yeah, right. We're Republican here. You are a Republican, right?
I am a Republican,
that's
yes.
That's good. I just want to make sure.
Yes, I am.
Right. But I'm sure that's why they threw it in there.
I liked you.
like you too.
Those states with a lot of state tax. That's. Yeah. I'm sure they threw it in there as a dig to them. So
what about Trump's new tax laws now for condos and HOAs? I mean, is there anything specific for them, or they just leave them out the way it is?
No, an association, they're a C corporation, and at one time, the C corporations, you know, the U.S. tax rate was one of the highest in the world for corporate taxes. And so now with the Trump law, they lowered it. So it used to be as high as 35%. It was a progressive rate. It started out 15%, and then it kept going up, and it got up to 35%. Now what they did, it's a flat tax, 21%. So it's really stimulated the economy.
It has, and
corporations are willing to take those tax savings, refund them to employees. So it's been great in that respect. One little thing for associations, though, it used to be the first $50,000 of income was taxed at 15%. Now it's a flat 21%, but generally your CPA is going to find expenses to take. So hopefully,
right.
You know, the CPA will, you know, can.
So he kind of hurt the middle class a little bit with regards to that $50,000 at 21%.
Well,
so that's another
60. The middle class is going to do great under the individual.
Because that's typically over $50,000, correct?
Yeah, they're going to do pretty good. The individual. It's good. Just the associations, because they're a C corporation. Generally, most of the income's under $50,000. You know, if you've got the cell phone antenna income, you may end up paying a little bit more, but you know, maybe the CPA can find more expenses to take against that.
All right, we take over a lot of new associations all the time. We're really growing right now. So we find that one of the biggest problems is that some homeowners provide proof that they've made their maintenance payments, yet the prior management company keeps sending them delinquent notices, late notices. So do you audit the individual units? How does that work?
Well, so if they were having an audit, then that's something we would trace. So, I mean, we'd see in the minutes this homeowner didn't pay or something. And generally what I found, like recently, is the old management company held open the bank account. They had the coupons. It was going into the old bank account. And then they were and the prior association would pay expenses out of that, so that when it transferred over to the new management company, it was virtually zero. So the new management company has no proof they paid, but you have to do some digging and you go and look. And I found this in a recent audit where, okay, these homeowners did pay, it went into the bank account, and then the prior management company ended up spending it and gave whatever little leftover to the new management company.
Wow.
And the new management company doesn't see that. All they see is, oh, they get $100 out of this bank account. Well, they don't see $3,000 came in and $2,900 was spent for whatever, paying an attorney or something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie, it's been a pleasure having you here. You've got a lot of knowledge, and just for our listening audience, if we want to make sure that you know that Eddie Page has been providing accounting services for condominium and homeowners associations for over 20 years. So if you're looking for an experienced CPA, please look no further. Give Page & Company a call today. And they are the CPA firm for your community and to keep you in compliance.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to be
back,
folks. 2 minutes. Quick commercial.
Yes.
Right, Peter? Peter?
Absolutely. Here we go.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Meritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.